Hey, what's up, guys? So here's why I'm doing this, putting this episode up. I was looking at my podcast stats tonight compared to my YouTube stats, and they were way off from my old YouTube shows and stuff, and something just didn't look right. And I found a few episodes that are getting some pretty good plays on YouTube. I mean, for me, they are, and they're not in my RSS feed. They're not there for the podcast listeners, and it's terrible. So I think I'm going to start out with, I believe, the best one that you guys, as far as your podcast listeners go, didn't get, which is William Buhlman, which teaches astral travel at the Monroe Institute as an author of a few books about astral travel and consciousness. And I mean, as one of the bigger teachers in the field of consciousness and astral travel. So I'm putting this up because number one, it wasn't in my RSS feed. Number two, I know for you people that just like to listen to the podcast are missing out on this one. And so the audio in this episode is not up to par as my newer ones, but you know, I'm learning as I go here. So this is one of my older episodes. I've kind of put the new intro in there with it. Tried to fix it a little bit with my editor as best I could, but it doesn't sound bad. But I really think you guys are going to love this. You're going to learn a lot from this guy. So without further ado, this is William Buhlman, or my interview with William Buhlman.
Mr. Walton, did you make contact with Alien? Will you take him to another planet, to a mothership? They communicate with. Can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food? Injection? It's important the entire world learns of your experience.
That's enough!
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body, because I am more than physical matter. I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
Show that you're gonna love, and I've been trying to get an astral travel guru on here for quite some time with all the guests I've had. They, you know, they've experienced it, but I've been trying to get somebody specific to this because it's one of my favorite topics, and tonight is really going to be special. And we have Mr. William Buhlman coming on with us here in just a little bit, and it's going to be fantastic. You can check us out at lightingthevoid.com, www.lightingthevoid.com, or we're doing the social media thing, really pushing hard for that, and you guys have been great with that, and that's at facebook.com/lightingthevoid, and Twitter, that's at lightingthevoid on Twitter, and don't forget to sign up to the newsletter. We've got some cool stuff coming up. I finally got, I would call her a publicist, who's going to help me with some stuff to get you guys some goodies or when you call in and stuff like that. Tonight, we're not going to open the phone lines up. This is too intense for that, so I don't want to open the phone lines up at all. I'm not going to go into any news because you can't. There's nothing out there right now except Trump. I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest with you. Today, I did have to put a raccoon out of his misery, though. I feel really, really bad about that. Just real quick, I don't know what you guys feel about that, but I looked out my window and I saw this animal moving around, and I'm not good with death and animals. I talked about that on the show before last, and I don't really know how to feel about this, but there was this big buzzard in the tree just looking over this thing. And the raccoon, I could hear it was making a weird noise. I don't know if it got ran over, but I definitely didn't want the buzzard to attack it because I got this thing with buzzards. It's a long story. So I put the old raccoon out of his misery and had to bury the fella. This thing was the size of a dog. So I guess I'm turning into a big weenie. I'm still shaking up over that, and that was hours ago. So if you hear a little trembling in my voice, it's not nervousness. I mean, you guys know that, but it's... I'm a grown man getting emotional over an animal. Doesn't make any sense at all. Doesn't make any sense. When we come back, we're going to have our astral travel guru on, and I couldn't have found a better person online to do this and talk to us about it. So when we come back, you guys, you're really going to love this, so stay with us. We'll be right back after the break, okay? Boy. This is the one I've been waiting for. Look, I'm not taking anything away from the guests that we've had on the show at all. But you guys, if you know me, especially my frequent listeners, know this is what I've been looking for. And if you guys got any guest suggestions, thank you for giving me those. I appreciate that. You can hit me up at contact@lightingthevoid.com. So tonight we have special guest William Bowman. And William has 40 years of extensive personal out-of-the-body explorations. This gives him a unique and thought-provoking insight. His first book, Adventures Beyond the Body, chronicles his personal journey of self-discovery through out-of-the-body travel, provides his readers with preparation and techniques that can be used for their own adventure. He has conducted an international out-of-body experience survey that includes over 16,000 participants from 42 countries. The provocative results of this survey are presented in his book, The Secret of the Soul. This cutting-edge book explores the unique opportunities for personal growth and profound spiritual awakenings that are reported during out-of-the-body experiences. Now, over the past two decades, he has developed an effective system to experience safe, self-initiated, out-of-the-body adventures. He conducts an in-depth six-day workshop titled Out-of-the-Body Exploration Intensive at one of my favorite places, the renowned Monroe Institute in Virginia. As a certified hypnotherapist, William incorporates various methods, including hypnosis, visualization, and meditation techniques in his workshops to explore the profound nature of the out-of-body experiences and benefits of the accelerated personal development. And through lectures, workshops, and his books, he teaches the preparation and techniques of astral projection and spiritual exploration. He has other books he's written, including Adventures in the Afterlife. And let me look at all of them. Here's a bunch of them. Higher Self Now, Adventures in the Afterlife, and then The Guided Techniques and Training is an audio book, which you can get on Audible, which I have myself, and the new one, Destination Higher Self. And it is a real pleasure having you today. So can tell us a little bit about how you got started in all this. Did you start this as a young child?
Well, I wasn't a child. I was in college at the time. A friend of mine had a spontaneous out-of-body experience, and he was changed by the experience significantly. So I did some research and found out that there were techniques. This goes back to 1972, just to give you some backstory. I was, at the time, I was a young man of about, 20 years old or so. Mm-hmm. So I found there were techniques, and I tried doing a technique that I had been teaching for many years called the target technique. And I practiced the same technique, because I was not a believer in this, by the way. I had no background in metaphysics or and having out-of-body experiences. But I decided if my friend could have the experience, why shouldn't I be able to? So anyway, after 3 weeks of practice, I had my first experience, and it was mind-blowing. It opened up a whole new world, of a whole new reality. And it changes your whole perspective because you realize that we have the ability to experience other dimensional realities, and it opens you to an entire new world. I mean, multi-dimensional world. And for me, it was a life-changing event, and I became obsessed with the topic and to explore it for the next, it's been 40 years now.
That's amazing.
So I still find the subject is just, there's no subject to me more fascinating, because it's about gaining personal experience. You know, there's no belief systems attached to this. It's just about having your own experience and moving beyond the body and exploring for yourself and discovering the answers for yourself. That's what's important. There's nobody's telling you what to believe or how to do things or what to perceive. This is all about your own personal exploration. And I think that's what's important, because the answers are received or obtained by our own experience, not by, let's just say, by obtaining information from a secondary source.
Right. So do you believe that the one thing that holds us back from having our own experience, I've heard it's fear. Some say it's, you know, belief that it can even be done. Do you think that it's that just our own personal belief systems is the one thing that holds us back from the experience?
There are several things I found from teaching. As you know, I teach a 6-day workshop at the Monroe Institute, and there's two issues that always you have to address. And one is, of course, fear. People have this subconscious fear of death, and it's totally irrational. I've had hundreds and hundreds of experiences, and I've never been harmed. I've never been, but people don't know that. They just assume they're so connected to their body. There's an attachment issue. So I would say fear, attachment to the body. In other words, our self-identity is totally wrapped around our physical body, and that is our entire self-conception is around our bodies. And the other part is just belief systems that we've bought into over the years, various belief systems, no matter what they may be, that limit us. What I found from experience is that everything that I learned, for instance, throughout my childhood and even in college, when I began to have out-of-body experiences, self-initiated out-of-body experience, I rapidly found out that none of the belief systems that I had ever learned throughout my entire life was accurate. Not a single one. And it was pretty shocking at the time. It opened your eyes to a whole nother perception of reality.
Now, you mean religions specifically, or do you mean atheism? Do you mean just all belief systems?
Well, I'm speaking of literally everything. What's the cornerstone of our civilization is that we perceive ourselves to be physical humans. But yet, what I found after about my first year of having out-of-body experiences, as I prolonged my out-of-body experiences, I would begin to lose my humanoid form. In other words, and that was one of the most shocking things I think everybody that has out-of-body and near-death experiences find out. Your arms, your legs, none of that becomes meaningful. You travel by thought, and you realize very quickly that we are not human, that consciousness is not human. Consciousness is using a human body temporarily as a vehicle of expression in the physical world. But it's not who we are. It's just a temporary vehicle. And we are far more than that. We have the ability to take on any form we choose. And what I and others have found, and this is not only through out-of-body experiences, but people experience this in near-death experiences as well, is that often you end up perceiving yourself as almost like a globe or sphere or point of consciousness, for lack of a better word, with 360-degree vision. There's no arms, there's no legs, there's no race, there's no gender. You follow me? I mean, we're more than any of the things that we believed we are. It's a life-changing experience, when you begin to perceive your true nature, and you wake up to the fact that, oh God, I'm an immortal being that is using this biological body just for a very brief period of time to learn and to experience all the things that we're experiencing now in the physical world. And we're learning through these experiences, of course. But the bottom line is you quickly awaken to the fact that that's not who I am. No more than your car is who you are. You're using it. You're traveling with it. It's a form of expression. It's not you. That's what limits many people. They're so locked into this identity. I've written several articles about this. In my new book, Higher Self Now, I address this topic of self-identity. As long as humanity remains identified, I'm not only identified, but obsessed, totally 100% identified with their physical nature, their biological body, how can you evolve beyond your own self-identity? If you're totally fixated on the fact that, as many people are, they're fixated on their racial identity, they're fixated on their gender, they're fixated on their national identity. In other words, you know, I'm French or I'm British. We're none of these things. It's all a diversion from the truth. And as long as we wrap ourselves in flags and in religions and in these other self-identity issues, we'll never experience the truth of what we are, because we have blocked ourselves from experiencing the reality and truth of our true nature by our own very thoughts and beliefs. It's not external. There's nothing stopping us. It's we create the walls by what we believe. And so it just opens you up to a whole different realm of reality. You begin to realize, for instance, very rapidly through out-of-body experiences, that the universe is multidimensional and that the physical world is just the thin epidermis layer of this vast continuum. And all these concepts of heaven, they're just other dimensions. And you also rapidly find out that no one dies. They just transfer consciousness at the point of death into an energy body, which many people today call the astral. But there's many different energy dimensions. And it's an amazing, that's what is so exciting about this, is that you can experience this for yourself. You no longer have to be the pawn of religions or belief systems or governments or the educational system. In other words, you can break free and obtain the truth for yourself. That's why I emphasize in my classes at the Monroe Institute that there are no rules, and there's no let's just say beliefs attached to this. I provide people with the tools and the techniques to have their own experience, and then they reach their own conclusions about the nature of reality based on their own experience. That's what makes it powerful.
Do you find any, you know, and I know it'd real be hard to be specific about this, but do you find anything that is paralleled or, say, a common denominator in these events where people travel out of the body? Because I know you say they all have their own experiences, but are there any common denominators in these events? Do they see anything that everybody else sees, or do they experience anything like that everybody else does, or is it all different?
No, there's a lot of commonalities, Ben, depending on the energy or the vibrational level that they experience. Most people in out-of-body experiences do not go very far from their body, number one. I'm talking not only in locale, but in other words, people don't journey inward very far. They experience their, referred to as their etheric body, and maybe a few people will experience their astral body, like Bob Monroe writes about. There's more freedom there. But if you leave your body and you're still observing your physical, like, surroundings of your home, you transfer your... That's one way to know. And people, they do experience the same thing. They experience the same kind of, for instance, many people will experience a connection with a loved one that may have passed, for instance. That's a quite a common event.
Right.
I had an opportunity many, many years ago. I actually encountered, or actually she contacted me, but my mother who had passed, for instance. Those kind of events are quite common. But you have to keep in mind, it's a vast multidimensional universe, and most people, because of their fixation with three-dimensional form, they don't venture much beyond the what I call the parallel world, which is in older metaphysical terms, it used to be called the etheric. In other words, it's like the parallel world many people experience in their first out-of-body experiences. It's a duplicate of your physical home.
Yeah.
So that is what most people experience, unless you're going to pursue it and you begin to go further inward, which I write about in my first book, Adventures Beyond the Body. I talk about, for instance, it took me, a year of having etheric out-of-body experiences before began to enter into the astral. Everybody's a little bit, and then things change, because then you're in a much more vast realm that's more thought responsive, and you enter into an amazing, amazing array of different realities that is beyond anyone's expectation. So the universe is a much, you know, that. The term the other side that people talk about, like this side is the physical side is equal to the non-physical side, is a complete falsehood. The physical, no one knows the exact percentage, but I would estimate that the physical world is certainly less than 1% of reality. The vastness of these other dimensions are beyond my ability to even explain that. They're levels within levels within levels, and they're all created by thought. So there's many different realities, and that's why the experiences, there are commonalities, but there's also a lot of differences in what people experience, because many people experience, for instance, people will begin to experience their past lives. They'll begin to experience elements of themselves, because most of us have been here many times before, and I'm saying that based on my own 40 years of research into this topic, and let me say that's not based on any kind of belief system. This is based on just experiences of just knowing this.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that about reincarnation, so if that fits in.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you if reincarnation was a big factor, you know, in a lot of people's belief systems, but maybe that is the one thing that some of them got right, that you do actually live multiple lives, but then trying to understand the semantics of all that, I find almost impossible myself, you know.
Oh, we are all on an incredible journey of consciousness, and you can't learn it all in one trip. And I'll tell you something that many people don't know, that I have run into. Everybody assumes that everybody reincarnates, or other people believe you don't reincarnate at all. Both of them are false. There's many people that have never reincarnated, and they never intend to. In other words, they've never been in a physical body, and they have no intentions of entering a physical body, because it's too difficult of a training environment. The physical world is actually a training ground of consciousness. It's like a giant playpen. It sounds silly. It's also a very harsh reality, in many ways, but in this case, the very nature of the physical reality makes it the optimum environment to learn and grow. It's so realistic. You can escape, for instance, in the non-physical realms, you can escape a situation just by refocusing your thought. Where in the physical world, if you're in the middle of a war, you have to live through that war. And there's no escaping it just by saying, oh, I've had enough. I think I'll go on and play into another reality. So you have to follow through in the physical world. You have to participate. In other words, the physical world is a harsh training ground, but there's many, many countless other realities. And what surprised me over the many years is the number of people, I call them people, they're non-physical beings, but they're just like us. They have no intention of ever coming to the physical. They're doing their exploration of consciousness in the non-physical realms. And I was surprised at the sheer numbers of these people. And I'm calling everybody by the name people because they're not all necessarily humanoids and they're not all necessarily the same as we are. Because everybody's growing, everybody's learning through different vehicles of expression. And as, like I said earlier, at our very core, none of us are human. We're just using the humanoid form. And we're using it to learn, to grow through experience. But in the non-physical realms, there's no limit to this. You can, you know, there's many people assuming different kinds of identities, different kinds of life forms, which I write about in my, in Adventures in the Afterlife, I write about some of these beings that I've encountered. So is Bob. I'm not the only. You know, many people have written about this. Bob Monroe wrote extensively about his travels in non-physical reality, and nobody had a humanoid form. They were points of consciousness that were expressing themselves and experiencing one another. And they had the ability, if they chose to create an outer form of expression if needed. But it wasn't needed. It wasn't essential for their development. So in other words, the main thing I like to express here, though, is that we have the capacity to obtain the answers for ourselves and not depend on any external source. But the important thing is to learn how to develop your own skills so that you can have these experiences on your own. You know, that's what's important here.
Well, which out of all your books and programs, and let's say that for some reason that we couldn't make it to one of your events that you do there at the Monroe Institute or wherever else you do it, and you have several books here. If someone wanted to get started doing this on their own, what book or resource or maybe even a technique would you tell them? Where could they get started? Would it just be meditation, or do you have one of your books in mind?
Well, I would recommend Adventures Beyond the Body. That was I wrote that 20 years ago. The subtitle is How to Have an Out-of-Body Experience. And I'm not trying to sell books here. I have the technique section is available for free on my website. I want to make that clear.
Right.
I'm not trying to hawk a bunch of books. That's not my intention.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
All the techniques that I've written, I post for free on my website, astralinfo.org, that people can just go there and glean from that. That's the thing to do. I wrote, let's see, four chapters devoted to techniques, and then advanced techniques, mindset, which is very important, how to develop an effective mindset for the exploration of consciousness. Very important. There's no magic technique. The place to start is mindset. And you start to develop your ability to be as an open-minded explorer. And it sounds so simple, But we have been programmed from birth to believe a lot of falsehoods about ourselves, our place in the universe, who and what we are. Think of it for a moment. There's, my God, 7.5 billion people on the planet. How many people do you know the basics of their existence? For instance, people don't know where they come from before they were born. They don't know where they're going when they die. They don't know what their purpose was for being here. It's kind of shocking when you start to look at the basic questions of reality, and we have billions of people running around and they have no clue about what they're doing here and where they're going. It's unacceptable because they've never taken the opportunity to explore, become explorers of their own states of consciousness. That's why this is so important. The answers are available. But we have to open our minds to our own potential. We all have the potential to explore altered consciousness and to explore beyond the limits of the physical body. Because think of it, it's only natural. We are not physical beings. And since we're not physical beings, wouldn't it be the most natural thing to experience our true self? And that's what an out-of-body experience offers. It gives you that opportunity to experience aspects of yourself that are part of what you are, and that's how you truly obtain knowledge, self-knowledge. The greatest problem with humanity today is a complete lack of self-knowledge. I'm talking as a species, as a human species. We do not know what we are. And that's what leads to wars on all the ills that plague humanity right now are a result of a lack of knowledge of self. I mean, it really boils down to that. And it's unnecessary. The problem is people don't even search for the answers because they accept what they were spoon-fed when they were children. And they fall in line with the dominant belief system in their society, which are all flawed. So we have to break free. We have to be open-minded enough to break free from these dominant belief systems that have basically walled us in to a very narrow perception of ourselves and our potential. Because truly, we're unlimited with the capacity to obtain the answers ourselves. That's the key, ourselves.
So out of all your traveling and experiences that you've done, and I mean, I would definitely say that you have great experience at it. It is kind of a deep question, but why do you think that some of us choose to come to this planet and be, I would say, restricted in a body? I mean, what are we trying to evolve to?
Well, I think it's a matter of we're learning through experience. We're learning through, in the physical world especially, often some of it is wonderful experiences, like we're learning love and other things. We're learning lessons of sacrifice, of how to focus. Think about it for a moment. I think this is often glanced over. We are non-physical species, temporary. I'm talking about all of it. We're a non-physical species, temporary visiting the physical world, and we're inhabiting, we're essentially using this biological vehicle, which is a temporary biological vehicle, as our expression in this dense reality called Earth. Now, but this is not our home, we're just temporary visitors here. But imagine, what people don't think about is the amazing journey we've done to enter and operate this biological body. We have actually expanded our consciousness through multiple dimensions. In other words, let's just call it soul, just so we're on the same page. Pure consciousness, or let's just use the term soul. Soul or consciousness has extended itself into a spectrum of an amazing spectrum of densities of levels of consciousness. In other words, we've extended our consciousness into a mental body, to an astral body, then into an etheric body, and all the way we've extended or expanded our consciousness all the way down into a biological body. It's an amazing feat that we've achieved just by being here. That's all part of the training. We're expanding, we're extending our consciousness through multiple dimensions to operate our own biological bodies. But very few humans know that. In other words, everything that we do is part of the training. Every day, everything that we do is we're learning how to operate essentially a remote biological vehicle. We're learning how to express ourselves in a multidimensional fashion. And of course, we're learning all the key skills of love, of whatever, all the things that we learn while being in a physical body. In other words, there's a vast learning available to us. And because in the non-physical, in the pure realms, we have to remember there is no duality. There is no good and bad. There is none of the things that we've become accustomed to. In this process, we are learning to extend, to experience, and to actually, for instance, let me just use a brief story. A soldier in a foxhole. There's a grenade comes into the foxhole. There's two soldiers in there, they're buddies. And the one throws his body on that grenade to save his friend. He's just experienced the ultimate self-sacrifice. You can't experience that in the spirit realms because there is no death. How do you express courage if you never feel fear? The physical world gives us this opportunity to express and experience other things that are not available in a non-dualistic environment. And it sounds kind of wild, but that's all part of the training. It's all part of the educational system. So there's a lot. We're learning incredible things in the physical world, and it's very important. And there's many inhabited worlds that are learning different kinds of, let's just say, different kinds of lessons. And as we move into the other non-physical realms, the lessons change. I write about this in Adventures in the Afterlife extensively, about how a person goes through different levels of training after death, because everybody assumes death is the end. It's another falsehood. Death is the beginning. It's the beginning of another journey of consciousness into other training grounds, other environments, and other realities. There's no end. It's just a different form of training.
Right. Well, I received a message here that someone wants to ask you if there is no good and bad, which I know that's a touchy subject, I'm sure. What about the things that happen, like the endless, let's say, ridiculous hate crimes or things that happen to children for no reason? Or violence of that nature. And I don't have to go into detail. I'll just let people's imagination run to what I'm talking about here. But what would a person have to learn from something like that?
That is a good question. And to tell you the truth, I don't have the answer.
Fair enough.
There's all kinds. I never claimed to be able to have the answers to everything.
Right. Fair enough.
There's a lot of harsh lessons, and I don't even pretend to know the answers to all of them. I would say this, that there is obviously a reason. For instance, what's the reason for war? Obviously, mankind, the history of humanity is a history of war. There must be a purpose. Now, we could throw a conjecture and an opinion, but it would strictly be that. This is the very those type of questions are the reason why it's important that we become explorers of consciousness. So we have to depend upon the opinions of others.
Right.
This is why it's so critically important. It, what's important is that individual, whoever asks that question, when they're in an out-of-body state, they can ask that question and answer first and for them. That's how to obtain the answer.
All right.
Now, I do think there's all kinds of dramas that unfold, and there's lessons are, there's some internalization of learning that's done, even though some of them is beyond comprehension. It's certainly behind my comprehension.
Sure. With all your travels and experiences you've had with consciousness, do you ever find yourself questioning what's real? I mean, what is real? Have you ever been in a state of, I don't even know if this is real? You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're going out and into these different realms, changing your identity, you know, at some point I would start to think I might go a little crazy. I don't even know what reality is. You know what I mean? It seems all a little undefined. I don't know another word for it.
I know exactly what you mean, and that's always an issue. This is my perception. Reality is relative to the perception of the observer and participant. And you're right. Reality is a very relative term to the individual. This idea that there's one reality is completely flawed concept. There's countless realities. And you're right. You have to expand your, when you start to enter these other realities, you have to be fluid. You have to be flexible in your thought processes. And of course, some of these experiences go beyond thought, which is, you know, that makes it even more involved. But my point is here that we have to be incredibly flexible and realize that every reality is relative. In other words, I call them consensus and non-consensus reality. There's realities that are collective. We have to remember that the non-physical worlds, the entire non-physical universe, is one thing in common. It is, not only is it non-physical, but it's thought responsive. And this is what's a critical thing to learn very quickly, that there is different kinds of realities. And I go into detail in my books about this. The consensus realities are realities created by collective thought of a group. When you enter those realities, you will not be able to change that reality with your individual thoughts, because they're formed by a collective of maybe anywhere. It could be 100 people or it could be 1 million people in these realities. And that is what creates that reality, is collective thought. In other words, a group of souls or states of consciousness that share the same concept of reality. For instance, cities are an example of a collective reality. I lived in China for 4 years, in Shanghai. That's a collective reality, where everybody believes that all 17 million of them believe the same. This is reality to them. The same applies in the non-physical worlds. When you enter a reality like that and out of body, you won't be able to alter that reality. Where there's other realities are non-consensus. In other words, realities that are not formed by a collective. So you'll be able to alter that reality. And I go into, and then there's also voids, which are very thought responsive, and that you can manipulate with focused thought very easily. My point is there's different kinds of realities, but there's only one commonality, and that is this. That they're all, it's all about thought and how thought is focused. So when you ask, and which is a very good question, by the way, the nature of reality is relative to the perception and vibration rate of the observer and participant. And this is very important, because you can't jump to conclusions when you're having out-of-body experience. You can't assume anything. You have to learn and through trial and error, I And I'm still learning after 40 years.
Right.
There's always something new. But you have to basic. So you begin to comprehend the nature of what creates reality, which is generally, unless you go to the higher realms, it's going to be created by thought. And that is what you need to really base. That's the basis that you work with.
Do you think that these realities or realms in the astral realms or levels of reality that you call them, do you think that they directly affect our physical world today in real time or what we would call now when we're awake?
That's another very good question. There is some interaction. But it's quite limited, I found. Most of these realities, when you go to the astral, when I've experienced the astral, these are separate realities from the physical, and there's very little interaction, especially when you get to what many people feel are the higher vibrational realities of the astral. They're distinctly different and totally separate from the physical, which almost, I'm not going to say no interaction, because there's always a little bit. Remember, every day a couple million people die. So there's constant interaction and movement between these dimensions, which I write about extensively. And when I refer to them as the opening of the membranes in the multidimensional realities when people die. My point is that, yes, and there is some level of interaction, but it's not manipulated. Everybody has free will in the physical world, I found. Every reality is given the gift of free will that I've observed. So the physical world, no matter how screwed up it may be, that's the free will of the participants that are in the physical world. Nobody's pulling their strings, if that's what I'm trying to get across.
Right.
In other words, the physical world isn't manipulated. Every little nuance is not manipulated by higher powers.
Right.
If in other words, World War II happened. If there was a higher reality, somebody could have killed Hitler if there wasn't something gained from that and stopped World War II. I'm just using that as a crude example.
Yeah.
But yet that didn't happen, did it?
No.
Let's just say if the drama of World War II, World War I, Vietnam, all these wars, the drama played out.
Right.
So that's what I mean by non-physical beings don't try to manipulate generally. Now, there's help to individuals occasionally.
Well, what I'm
that occurs, but I'm talking about on a global. They're right. In a global situation. It's generally free will dictates every reality, I found.
Well, what I mean is like, and that's, I mean that too, but what I mean is like synchronicities, things like, you know, when you think about something or you dwell on something or, I don't know, certain things happen in your life that just can't be a coincidence, but they all come from the thought and feeling realm that you know you were either just thinking about or you were focusing on. And it, not, you know, I'm getting that, right? The law of attraction thing that everybody talks about, but I've always thought there was more to that, that it accessed something and then it would come through maybe this realm of time in its own way. You know, it just can't be so many coincidences in my life. After a while, you think these just can't be coincidences. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but
well, I'm not saying they're coincident. Everything has a meaning, and I see what you mean. There's a certain vibration. We still create our reality through our own focused thoughts. So I have found no evidence of coincidence existing. We are constantly, you know, every day, all of us are putting out 40,000 thoughts. Think of it. It's mind-blowing. We are projecting energy all around us, 360 degrees. 40,000 thoughts are projected out. Each of those thoughts have the potential of creativity. Now, unfortunately, people are spewing out negative thoughts, self-defeating thoughts. They're spewing out a world of different kinds of energies. So when we talk about coincidences, what we're really talking about is what thoughts resonate with one another. People are drawn to one another when they resonate with one another, I have found. When there's a situation also that needs to be resolved, whether it be a past life energy that needs to be balanced, or any number of situations such as this. In other words, the universe is always seeking balance. Energy seeks balance. And our universe is just levels of energy. Levels, of course, not energy as we think of it. It's much more. The astral world is an energy world, but it's not anything kind of energy that our physics would explain. But it's still a form of energy that's molded by thought. So we have to keep that in mind. And you know, those things that are in tune with one another have a tendency to be drawn to one another.
Yeah.
And that's why I think these coincidences happen. Remember, it's all about learning. So, yeah. And about through learning through personal experiences.
Right.
So we provide learning for others, and others provide learning for us, for our interactions with them.
Right. Well, when I was a kid, I used to have this fantasy, right, that I would, when I was real little, I used to think that maybe it would be cool if I could meet other people in my dreams or my friends and go places and say, hey, we saw this stuff, come back and then talk about it later. Now, I know that's a far fantasy because everybody's in their own consciousness, but as you've done all this stuff, it's kind of a childish fantasy, I guess, but I really want to know, is that possible that multiple people can go in groups together in these realms, or is it usually an individual flight?
Both have occurred. For instance, I have had people in my class that have met. We have a meeting place that's very common at the Crystal at the Monroe Institute. It's a 7-foot tall rose crystal on the grounds of the Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a meeting place for people. And on many occasions in my class and other classes, people actually meet there. I mean, in the non-physical state.
That's awesome.
So, yes, it does happen. And it's, for instance, the Monroe Institute is actually quite well known for that. Any participant will tell you that. It can and does happen. But in the greater scheme of things, most people travel on their own.
Right.
I normally do. That's been my experience. But have to remember, everybody's a little bit different, too, in that regard. But I found that most people will experience this on their own as a solo experience, and which is probably, in many ways, it manifests the way it should. But when you're by yourself, you're not influenced by the thoughts of others.
Sure,
and most people overlook the importance of this. A group of people would be influencing one another and what they experience by their very thoughts. Remember, when we have an out-of-body experience, we're entering a very thought-responsive realm, a multiple-dimensional realms that are all thought-responsive to some degree, much more thought-responsive than the physical world. In fact, once you get to areas like what many people would perceive to higher reality, vibrational realities, I should refer to it, of the astral, our thoughts will manifest almost instantly. So you have to have extreme self-responsibility. It's not the playground for the thoughtless and for the primitive, because every thought will manifest in for the individual extremely quickly.
Oh, man, I can see how that can turn into chaos in a group really quick. So, yeah, I see your point.
Yes, indeed. And also keep in mind, where would you put developing souls that don't are not taking personal responsibility for their own thought creations.
In a place
would you
where
not
directly,
place them,
yeah,
trillions of them possibly, in a slowed down molecular environment where they can do no harm to others?
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that the training ground? Wouldn't you put them in a place where they can't contaminate let's just say, the pristine realities of the inner dimensions?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it would be the perfect playpen to put them in until they evolve and take personal responsibility. Personal responsibility, it's not talked about in metaphysics, but I found it to be the essential cornerstone of everything we do. Because when you enter into a thought responsive realm, you better have your act together, I found, or you're going to get your own thoughts will bite you in the butt so fast.
Yeah, it's almost like
I write about this. Monroe writes about this.
Yeah.
You have to be a mature, responsible individual that is willing to take total, complete responsibility for your thought projection. Because these are creative energy projections that you're putting out there. And they will manifest before you with incredible speed. And the universe does not play favorites. It doesn't judge. If you send out a negative thought, it manifests a negative image. The universe doesn't care. That's what there's no police force. I have found there's none of that. It's all automatic. If you put out positive or neutral thoughts, that's what you're manifest. If you put out self-destructive thoughts, you also manifest that. You see the same thing, by the way, in shamanic journeys. There's physical evidence of this.
Right.
The same exact thing happens when people do ayahuasca. You focus on negative things, and suddenly the negative things will start to manifest in your experience.
Yeah, I remember.
This is a universal principle that's very seldom talked about.
In one of Robert Monroe's books where he travels to a different place, and they're trying to either, I forget if they were trying to get rid of him or imprison him, because they said something like, you know, you're one of them, you're one of those humans or whatever, and we don't want to get infected, or like him being from this planet or in his state of mind could cause some type of infection or energy infection to these other beings, and they didn't want anything to do with it, you know. So,
right, and well, that, because that was a consensus reality. And right. In that consent, in other words, that collective did not want to be, let's just say, they did not want to be in any way, he used different terms than I would have.
Right.
But you're right. They want to have nothing to do with those that are going to, let's just say, in their perception, negatively influence their reality. Generally, you're not even allowed to enter these realities. You're not going to get through the front door. And there's trillions, there's countless, we don't even, no one knows. But we're talking about realities that are more plentiful than our mind can even begin to comprehend.
True. Well, I had this, I know we're running out of time here, so I had this one question about my experience and the difference between the two realms. Like you say, it was a mindset, and I had been thinking about astral travel for weeks, and I'd finally rolled out of my body. I won't get into the big details of it, but I went outside and tested it, flew up into the tree and said, okay, I'm astral traveling. Went back in the house, and I started seeing things that didn't make sense, almost like at that point I couldn't tell if it was a dream or, because in my mind I'd thought that the astral realm had to be just like this local physical realm. And as I woke up or got in this paralyzed state trying to wake myself up, there was an entity or something right 4 inches from my face, and it was hideous. And the only thing I knew to do was to scream out a word that I used in religion that I was brought up in, and it went away. So I guess I got two final questions for you. Is there a difference between dreaming and astral traveling? And what the heck was that thing that I saw?
Well, it's number one, yes, the first question, yes, there's a big difference in astral traveling, of course. Remember what I was just saying? If you project a fear-based thought, you're going to manifest a fear-based image. And I think that was. Generally speaking, now, only you can, I'm not trying to, again, that's to judge your own experience. I think it's very important. But I have found that from my 40 years experience, if there's of negative experience or negative entity or negative, let's just say, and again, we're labeling these things negative,
right?
Because they're strange. So I'm just following along with the terms that you were using.
Okay.
I find that I have to begin to look at my own projections and to examine my own thoughts. For instance, it could have been the paralysis. Paralysis is a precursor to OBEs. I write about this extensively. It's part of the vibrational state. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. It means you're ready. Full paralysis or partial paralysis is a precursor to OBEs. You have to let go of the body. And yes, that's what scares people more than anything. And I think it was your fear of the paralysis that brought about that image. That, if you want my professional opinion, that's what I would say.
Well, that makes sense.
It's very common. It's a very common result, because remember, and fear-based thoughts will manifest. They can manifest as anything. Anything, and it's often not very pretty.
Right.
But it's a projection. It's our projection. It's not a living being. And I know there's a lot of fear-based stuff out there, by the way. And I'd like to address this real quickly now that you touched on it. There's an awful lot of fear-based baloney floating around out there on the Internet. There's even books. And I can only tell you this. 40 years, I've been having out-of-body experiences. And I've been shocked. I've been startled. I've had a lot of strange experiences until I began to realize and wake up to the fact that I am the creative force in my life. And it took me a while to get there. This is not an easy thing, because it's scary when you realize that you're the creative force and that it's all about you are the creator of your personal experiences. And it's easy to say these things. But once you recognize that you have to take responsibility for everything, that's when things take on a whole new meaning in your experiences. Because you can begin to, let's just say, experience higher levels of reality. Because then you're more responsible, and you can control your thought processes better. This is very important. That's why I have found, and this is from many studies that have been done in the last, especially 15 years. You know, the most of the people that have out-of-body experiences never leave their house. The reason being, they're afraid to. But it's not a conscious fear, it's a subconscious fear. They're afraid of the unknown. And I understand that. But eventually you have to break through that. And let go and discover these. Most people limit themselves. They're creating walls around themselves by all their fears, all their limits, and all their beliefs. And also all their self-conception that they hold. And we have to begin to reappraise these. That's what I teach day one of my class. We have to begin to reappraise our entire perception of who and what we are and wake up to a much broader perception of what it is to be us. Because you can't even use the word human. Consciousness is not human. Consciousness is not deer or rabbit or bird. You follow me? Consciousness is beyond. Consciousness is using vehicles of the bird and the frog and to express itself. But that's not what consciousness is. And we have to wake up to the fact that we're incredibly creative beings. That we, and when we do that, suddenly our journeys begin to take on a much more, I'd just say, much more expansive result. But we all come, we always come back to one thing. We have to learn how to become explorers of consciousness if you really want the answers. Answers aren't found in books. Answers are not found in religions or some kind of, they're not found in philosophies. All that stuff is flawed because they're, every person writes a book, including me. It's all from my state of consciousness. What's important to learn is how to become your own explorer so that you can go and have your own experiences. But this takes dedication. Like I always tell people, it's 60 days. You pick a technique. I include over 30 techniques in my one book. You read it. You find out what technique resonates with you, and you dedicate. It's just like meditation. Nobody meditates for a month, and suddenly they're the Buddha. This is a lifetime process. OBE technique is the same as meditating with intention. You select a technique, whatever it is for you, that resonates with you. And then you repeat it every day for 60 days. It only takes 20 minutes. Follow the guidelines that I put out. You don't do this in your bed, for instance. That's the worst place to do it. You create a sacred space where you do your own, your OBE meditations. And I don't want to go into all of them, but I have guidelines I put that I found to be effective. And it, just because of trial and error. You can do anything you want, but there's certain things we know from 30 years of teaching this that work, and certain things are less effective. That's all I'm trying to do is provide the most effective method for people to have their own experiences. And then you make the judgment. For instance, if you have a question about past lives, don't believe in past lives. Find out for yourself. Go into an altered state of consciousness and then ask your own question. What was my past life? See what happens. Right. Follow me. That's the way to obtain the answers. That's the way I've done it. That's what many people are doing today. The days of just believing a bunch of psychobabble are over. It's not effective. There's thousands and thousands of books full of intellectual theories and projections. It's meaningless because it's coming from the mind of whoever wrote the book. Only thing that matters in our evolutionary cycle, if you're really serious about the exploration of what you are and where you're going, you want to know the answers, it's imperative that you become an explorer of consciousness and find the best way to do that for you. Maybe it's not maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's shamanic journeying. Maybe it's OBE work. You follow me? There's different paths, different approaches for different people.
Sure.
I have found that out-of-body experiences are the most profound and powerful way and most direct way to obtain the answer. So it resonated with me, and I stayed with it for 40 years because it's worked for me. But I also meditate. I've done shamanic journeys. I've done a lot of things. It doesn't mean you limit yourself to one thing. My point is that you find what works for you. That's why I wrote this guide. I have a troubleshooting guide on my website. And it's for any explorer of consciousness, for those that want to find out. In other words, what do you do when you're in paralysis? How do you respond? This isn't just my troubleshooting guide that I created. It's not just about OBEs. It's about all explorations of consciousness, whether it be hallucinogens or shamanic journeys, plant medicines, yoga, trance induction. It doesn't matter how you get there, but it's good to have this information so you know how to handle it. That's why I write the books I do. I want people to be, let's just say, as knowledgeable as possible when they enter these thought-responsive realms. That's the whole purpose of my books, is to guide people to be knowledgeable so that they begin to become effective as quickly as possible, so they don't have to go through my long training, my long extended. You know, there was no good books available when I started 40 years ago. I had a little bit about theosophy was all there was.
Yeah.
Follow me? There was nothing out there. I had to learn through trial and error. But that's what gives me, I think, the credibility to write these guides. In other words, what do you do when you're paralyzed?
That's a
good
question.
How do you respond?
That's a good question.
And these are important questions. If you want to be an explorer of consciousness, you better know that. Because you will be paralyzed. It's going to happen. Just a temporary thing. It's not harmful. Matter of fact, it's so silly. People are afraid of something. I consider that wonderful when that happens because I know I'm about to have an out-of-body experience.
Right.
You follow me?
Right, yeah. Lately, when I have it, I feel excited.
Our society doesn't look at it that way.
No, they don't. They don't. And if anybody wants to see that, you can go to astralinfo.org. There's a tab at the top that says how-to guides. And he's got a lot of free stuff in here that you can read as well. So that's pretty cool.
And in my latest book, I included even more. I tried to put as much as I could because I'll be 66 next week. I'm not a youngster. This is probably my last book.
And that is
so I'm trying to get it out there before I, let's say, move on.
Well, I mean, we really appreciate it.
That's what I feel is so important nowadays, that people, because there's so little practical guidance out there. That's why I write my books. My main goal is to provide practical guidance with no bullshit.
Right. Yeah, you've got quite a few books here. Your newest one is the Destination Higher Self. Is that right? That's what it says.
Well, Higher Self Now.
Higher Self Now.
The Destination is the CD set.
Gotcha.
For those that are dying.
Okay.
I wrote that book for, but Higher Self Now is a guidebook for accelerating your spiritual growth.
That's
awesome. I use the word spiritual, but it's about the evolution of consciousness. Sometimes I use phrases that will resonate with the mass populace.
Right.
But it's all about the exploration of consciousness and being, let's just say, as knowledgeable as possible.
Right. Well, we're all out of time, and you know, I'm sure that you've been asked a million questions, that this could go on for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
But I would tell everybody to really go check out astralinfo.org and even, you know, the Monroe Institute, and you can go on YouTube and find a lot of you do have a lot of speeches there on the YouTube channel too. So I'm glad that you're putting these resources out here for us, because there's so many things that we're being pulled, and all the truth seekers, I can speak for all of them and tell you that we are being pulled in several different directions, whether it's esoteric or in nature. And it's good to see that there's a no BS kind of guru out there that's just trying to help you just find out what consciousness is, and that's it, you know.
Well, there's no gurus. I never think of myself in those terms at all.
Well,
I'm just a trainer. I just try to help people to have their own experiences. That's all.
All right.
Well, anyway, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. And we appreciate you coming out. And really, thanks again for coming out and speaking with us, William.
Okay. I do appreciate getting the word out. So thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Well, that's it, guys. That's it for the show. Appreciate you guys stopping by and listening to William Bowman. And you can check out his website at astralinfo.org. You can also visit our website at lightingthevoid.com. lightingthevoid.com. We'll see you guys next week. If you want to stick around later, me and Paul are going to shoot the shit. So if you want to hang out and listen to that, maybe call in. You can. All right. See you guys later.